I've been preaching for the last 2 weeks in North Carolina and in the state of Tennessee. And in both these areas, I spent some time with men who have large grapevines, grape vineyards, and some men who produce a lot of grapes, both in North Carolina and in Tennessee. I went out to their homes and saw the grapevines and talked to them a little bit about the care of the grapevines and the producing good grapes and so forth. And this led me to read again John chapter 15 and to speak to you this morning on this subject. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. John 15. Let's look at this. I believe we'll try to look at seven verses, the first seven or eight verses of John 15. Now, all the words of our Lord are important. All the words of our Lord. I don't mean to set one scripture against another. All the words of our Lord Jesus Christ are special. Special to his people. But here in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, his words of instruction, his words of comfort, his words of warning to his disciples just before he went to the cross. All of these words, 13, 14, 15, 16, were spoken over a period of just a matter of hours before the cross, just 48 or 72 hours before the cross, before our Lord died on the cross. He spoke all of these words. John chapter 13, that's when he washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And John 14, let not your heart be troubled. This John 15 and John 16, all right in this period of time. 48 or 72 hours before he went to the cross, he spoke these words. And they are very special. Let me read for you the first eight verses of John 15. He said to the disciples, he's talking to his inner circle, to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now let's go back to the verse 1. In which our Lord said to the disciples, I am the true vine. And what a temptation there is to camp right here for a little while. I am. For that's the purpose of this book, to reveal I am, who he is. That's the purpose of this book. He says, I am. He's telling the disciples who he is. I am. That's the purpose of this book. That's the purpose of this preaching. And if everybody here could learn and learn well, all of us, who Christ is, it'd be time well spent. I am. Moses cried at the burning bush when the Lord told him to go down into Egypt and lead the people out. He said, well, when they ask me, who sent me and what is his name, what shall I say? Will you take just a moment and turn to Exodus 3? I want you to look at this. I thought, yes, everybody here needs to look at this scripture, needs to look at it, needs to read it themselves, what God said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14. Moses said, when I go to them and they ask me, who sent you? What's his name? What shall I say? And God said, verse 14, Exodus 3, I am that I am. Capitalize. See it? I am. You young people see it? I am. Underline. I am. I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Not I was, not I will be. I am. I am. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And here the Lord Jesus Christ begins this exhortation here in chapter 15 of John to his disciples. I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. I am. He uses this several times in the book of John. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. But here he says, look at it. I am the true vine. Why didn't he just say, I'm the vine? He says, I'm the true vine. Why not, I'm the vine? I say that often when I'm talking about him. I say, he's the vine, we're the branches. He's the head, we're the body. He says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. But you know, he does that often. Don't turn to it, but he said, they said, the scripture says in John 1:9, that was the true light. Well, he is the light, but he says, that's the true light. And then he said in John 6, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread. The true bread. Hebrews chapter 8, Paul said this, Christ is a minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not a man. The true light, the true bread, the true tabernacle, the true vine. Why does he do this? Well, the answer is found in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn over there. I want you to look at this one too. Hebrews 9. Here's the answer. Here it is, right here. Right here. I am the true vine, the true bread, the true tabernacle. Hebrews 9, verse 24. As distinguished from all other vines, doors, light, and so forth. Listen. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place, places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. These are just symbols and figures and pictures of the true. The true what? The true holy place. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. When our Lord uses the adjective true, I am the true vine. I am the true light. I am the true bread. And he ministers in the true holy place. When he uses that adjective, he uses it to show that all persons, ceremonies, sacrifices, buildings, types that have gone before are but pictures and types of him, and they have no value in and of themselves. None. None.
There's a light, but it's not the true life. It's a picture of the true life. And it won't help you. And when we break bread, and you hold that bread in your hands, the bread at the Lord's table, don't you make it more than it is. Don't you dare make it more than it is. It's nothing but bread. He's the true bread. He's the true bread. Oh, if we could just get that across to our symbolism is a great enemy of true worship. I watched a preacher this morning for just a few moments on the television, and he was blessing the congregation. He did everything but make the cross. He wanted to so badly, a Protestant preacher. But I watched him. I said, watch, honey, he's almost doing it. It's that raising the hand and blessing. And let me tell you, he's the blesser. He's the blesser. It's in him. He's the true bread. He's the true light. He's the true tabernacle. He's the true vine. Everything else is symbolism. Everything else. It has no value in itself. It has no, and we have to watch ourselves and force ourselves not to set value upon these things. This building. There's a great temptation to hallow a building. It's a great temptation. There's a great temptation. Great temptation. But he says, I'm the true vine. I have no competitors. I have no rivals. There's nobody in the league. I'm it. All right, my father is the husbandman. What's a husbandman? He's a farmer. He's a farmer. Our Lord's talking about a grapevine now. I'm the true vine. My father's the farmer. My father's the farmer. He planted the vine. These men I visited over there in North Carolina and down in Tennessee, they planted the vine. It didn't come up wildly. They planted it. They planted these vines. And it's the will of the farmer to have a vineyard. It's the will of the farmer to have a grapevine. And so the farmer selected the vine and planted it. And planted it. It's all done according to his will. The Father ordained the Son to be the vine, to be the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son made of a woman. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Christ glorified not even himself to be made the high priest, but he who said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He made him the high priest. I'm the true vine. My father is the husband. My father sent me. As my father sent me. And I'll tell you this, the father not only planted the vine, but the branches are in the vine by the will of the Father too. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. And I'll tell you, we need to dwell on this right here. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 30. Listen. But of him are you in Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm the true vine. My father is the husbandman. My father is the husbandman. And look at verse 2. And verse 2, John 15. And every branch in me, there is but one vine, but there are many branches. I'm the true vine, but there are many branches. Out of every tribe, nation, tongue, and people, the branches are in the vine. You know, I hear people say,
that they came to faith in Christ. No, we came to Christ in faith. We don't come to faith. We come to Christ. We come to Christ in faith. It's in Christ. We're chosen in Christ. Every branch in me, we're in Him. We're not in a faith. We're in Christ by faith. And those branches are in that vine by divine grace, chosen in Him, accepted in Him. And those branches know who the vine is, and they know that they're in Him. All right, look at verse 2 now. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now get the picture. Christ said, I'm the vine, the only one, the true vine. True life, true salvation, true redemption. I'm the vine. You're branches. You're the branches. My Father is the farmer. My Father's purpose is accomplished in all of this. This vine and its branches. Now He makes two statements here. Every branch that bears not fruit, My Father takes away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, He prunes it. Now we've got to determine, first of all, what the fruit is. What is the fruit? It's called fruit. Look, it's singular, isn't it? Fruit. It's not fruits. It's fruit. Secondly, it's the fruit of the vine and not the branches. The branches bear it, but look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Neither no more can you except you abide in me. It's the fruit of the vine. Not the fruit of the branches. It's fruit, singular. It's the fruit of the vine. It's not works. It's something they bear. Something that comes from within. Out, not out, within. It comes from within, a grape. Here's the vine, here's the branches. This grape was produced by the vine, and the branch just bore it. What is this fruit? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'll show you what this fruit is. Without a doubt, without hesitation, here's the fruit. Singular. Now, the works of the flesh are listed. These are the deeds of the flesh. Flesh, outward, flesh. Verse 19 of Galatians 5. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Variance, that's divisions, emulations, jealousy, wrath, strife, sedition. That's a party spirit, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, such like, of which I tell you before, as I've said, also told you in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the works of the flesh. These are the works and labors and product of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, the goings about of the flesh. But fruit, singular, the fruit of the flesh, comes from within and out. It comes from within. It's the fruit of the flesh, of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love for God. Love for His Word. Love for His people. Love for others. It's love. That's the fruit. It's the vine's fruit, but it's hanging on us. And it's from the Spirit. It's from within. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
of the Spirit of God within. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. The joy of the Spirit of God. Joy, rejoicing in Christ. Joy. Peace. Patience. Gentleness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, gentle, forgiving one another. Goodness. Liberality, generosity, goodness, faith, faith in Christ, faith in His blood. I believe God. Meekness, humility. I told my class this morning, pride and grace, they're incompatible. They're incompatible, totally incompatible. Like darkness and light, they cannot exist together. Where grace comes in, pride goes out. Has to. It's opposites. This is fruit. Meekness, temperance, moderation. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ, that are His, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, we'll walk in the Spirit. That's the fruit. That's what He's talking about here. Now, let's read verse 2. And every branch in me that beareth not this fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, temperance, faith, long-suffering. Every branch in me that bears not this fruit, that Amplified Version says it stops bearing this fruit, that ceases to bear this fruit. Now, a lot of writers, this preacher included, at various times have applied this to people who said they were in Christ, who professed to be in Christ, who they thought were in Christ, and others thought they were in Christ, and that's true. They won't bear fruit, and they'll be taken away. But he says here clearly, every branch in me, it's in me, that ceases to bear fruit, that stops bearing fruit. Their lives and their spirit and their walk do not manifest the grace of God. He says, I'll take them away. That word take away means to lift up, to be removed. Just removed. Take them up. Now, both of those applications could be given here, could be applied here. Every branch that claims to be in me bears not fruit, but that's really not what he says. He says, every branch in me that does not bear this fruit, I'll take it away. I'll take it away. It ceases to bear fruit. Evidently, there was a time when it bore some fruit. The very fact that it's there. But then he goes on and says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he'll purge it. He'll prune it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Cut away the things that need to be cut away. I was standing, first time I experienced this was driving up 23 towards Columbus. There's a huge winery there, or grape arbor. And I'd drive up sometimes at certain times of the year, and I'd look out there, and there'd be nothing out there but just knobs. I mean, during the summer you drive by, and there's, you know, vines everywhere. Everything's green, and vines growing, and beautiful, and looks like that they could feed the world with those. And I drive by other times, there's just a bunch of knobs sticking up there. They've cut the limbs off. They've sliced it and cut it and hacked it till there's nothing left but just the vine and a few runners. Well, I was talking to this fellow over in Tennessee, and I said, show me how you prune a grapevine. But it had this huge vine he's had for years and years and years, years and years and years, big as 4 inches in diameter, I guess. And it's green right now, and the grapes have just finished bearing, and there are a lot of runners. And he said, I'll start right here, and I'll just cut that off, and I'll cut that off, and I'll cut that off. And I said, there won't be nothing left. He said, there'll be enough left. But if I don't cut it, it won't produce. And he said, I'll give you this advice if you ever plant a grape arbor, a grapevine. When you think you pruned it too much, prune her some more. When you think you've cut too much, cut her again. And that's what our Lord's saying here. He said, I'm the vine. My Father did all this. My Father sent me, and my Father is by the will of God, the branches are in me. But now if a branch is in me and doesn't bear fruit, my Father will take it away from here. And I've seen some taken away that I believe knew God. Believe they knew God. But they didn't glorify God. They didn't glorify God. And they were just taken out of here. And then he said, those that do bear fruit, I'm going to purge them. Cut them. That they might bear more fruit. I've told this story, I guess, 100 times. I'll tell it again. There was a traveling salesman. There's some new people here. But the traveling salesman going through Arkansas, and he stopped in an old general store. And there were some men sitting around the stove talking and whittling and spitting and chewing and gossiping. And he was trying to talk to the proprietor about buying his goods. He looked up on the shelf, and there were some carved figures. And there were a bunch of hound dogs, just old, long-eared, flop-eared hound dogs carved out of wood. And he said to the proprietor, he said, who carved those hound dogs? They're excellent, wonderful work. And the proprietor said, you see that old man sitting over there by the stove? He carved the hound dogs, and he's carving one now. Go over and watch him. So the salesman walked over there, and he stood for a few moments and watched this old man carve that piece of wood. He said to him, he said, how do you do that? The old man looked up and said, how do I do what? How do you carve those hound dogs? Well, he said, I never gave it much thought. He said, looked at his knife. He looked at the wood. He said, I reckon I just cut off everything that don't look like a hound dog. That's the best illustration I know for this business of pruning the vine, the branches. God will cut off everything that don't look like a believer. And some things die hard, don't they? But they got to go. Every branch in me that stops bearing fruit, I'll take him away. I'll take him away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, I'll take away from him that which hinders his proper use. That's right. I'll do it. Now he says in the next verse, he says, now you're clean. You're clean. Over here in John 13, just a few hours ago, he said, you're clean, but not all of you. Look back at John 13, verse 10. Jesus said, John 13, 10, Jesus said to him, he that's washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all of you. Who was there, Jim? Judas the traitor. He's gone now. He's gone. Our Lord's talking just to his people here now. He's gone. So he says, you're all clean. You're clean. But you know something here, I looked at this. You're clean through the Word. Through the Word. Oh, stay with me a moment. This is so important. You're clean, not by works. You're clean by the Word. In other words, the Word of Christ came to them in power. The Word of Christ came to them in the Spirit. The Word of Christ came to them effectually. They heard His Word. They believed His Word. And they were cleansed by His blood and by the Word. Our cleansing is attributed to the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our cleansing is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. I'll read it to you. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the Word, through the Spirit. And then it says that cleansing is attributed to the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Cleansing, purifying, justifying, saving a sinner is through the Word of God. Don't underestimate the power and importance of the written Word and the preached Word. It's the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I'll tell you why I take this so seriously, because it is serious. I wish I could get everybody that pretends or claims or does serve God and just get them in front of me and say to them, He deserves your best. He deserves your best. Lack of preparation is absolutely inexcusable as far as I'm concerned. Where God's work is concerned, where God Almighty's glory is concerned. The preaching of the Word, the proclamation of the Word is so important. It's so important. You're clean through the Word. I want to say to these singers on television and entertainers, stop it. Stop it. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Read the Word. They don't even carry a Bible. Give them the Word. It's the Word of God that comes forth in power. It's the Word that comforts. It's the Word that begets faith. It's the Word that instructs. It's the Word of God that gives hope. It's the Word that sanctifies. It's the Word that purifies. It's the Word of God by which we live. It's the foundation of faith. It's the one that's what sustains me and keeps me in every time of difficulty and trouble. His Word. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So I can say, He's my helper. I dare not say it till He says it. And I've got to know what He says. And we're just robbing people of their heritage. We're robbing people of the means. It's like doctors who have medicines in their cabinet and won't dispense them. If a medicine will heal, give it out. Come to the doctor with aches and pains. He says, I'm going to sing for you. Now let's all wave our hand. You wave your hand, I wave my hand. And we'll be happy all the time. But I'm sick. I'm hurting. Oh, but we're happy, aren't we? Aren't we happy? It's fun being saved. Teach them. Give them the Word. If God wants them to have fun, they'll have fun. And joy, they'll have joy. But it'll be based on His Word. Now watch this. I've got to give you this. It may take a minute or two more. Verse 4. Abide in me. Now listen. Abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine. Abide in me. Abide in the vine. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me. Verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. A-B-I-D-E. Abide. All right. Everybody listening? It's one thing to be in Christ. It's quite another to abide in Christ. Now listen to me. It's the same. It's the same, but it can be different. Listen. The word abide has a meaning. Look it up in your concordance. It means to stay. to stay in a given place, to stay in a given relationship. Stay there. Now listen, I make good on this. I'm in Christ by God's choice, by God's will, by God's love, by God's power, by God's grace, and nothing can separate me legally, officially, by title, in Christ. I'm in Christ. Every believer is in Christ. To abide in Christ speaks of walking in fellowship with Christ. In fellowship with Christ. People neglect their first love. They're in Christ legally. They're in Christ officially. But he rebuked some folks for leaving their first love. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Now listen to this. Revelation chapter 2. This, chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation, this message to the churches is the message to the churches. You know that scripture over there, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man open up, I'll come in and sup with him." That wasn't written to unsaved people. That's the church. Don't you remember in the Song of Solomon when the bride said, "My beloved is outside knocking and I'm inside asleep. And I told him I've gone to bed. And then I got up to let him in and his hand reached through the hole in the door and I opened the door and he was gone and I sought him." That's the beloved. And here in Revelation 2:4, listen. Verse 3, he brags on them. Verse 2, let's read verse 2. He brags on them. "I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know you can't stand. Bear them that are evil. You've tried them which say they're apostles and not, and hast found them liars. And you have borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake you've labored and you hadn't fainted. Nevertheless, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Not permanently. Not a divorce. But you've left it. You left him. You neglected the prayer closet. You neglected worship. You neglected fellowship. You've neglected that walking with him. Where's the joy that once I knew when first I found the Lord? Where's that soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word, huh? Know anything about that? I do. Now he says, if you abide in me continually, and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. Abide. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Look at verse 10. Verse 9. "As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Why would a believer be told to continue in his love? Because we get attracted to some more things. Some things get mighty big, mighty important, and we neglect our first love. Brother Walter Gruver tells an amusing thing. And it is amusing, but it's illustrative. It tells, he said when he and Betty first got married, he was number one. And then the first child came along, he was number two. Then the next child, he was number three. And the next, he was number four. He said, "I've got 11 grandchildren now, number 16. You know something about that? When I met the Savior, number one, first love. Oh, I love the preaching of the word. I love the conferences. I love the fellowship. I love the prayer meetings. I love the way of God. I love the people. I couldn't wait. But I'm busy now. I'm busy. I'm making a living. This old world's so attractive. Just think, I can get a bigger house now. We got this one paid for, so we'll just dive in, get a bigger one, bigger car, bigger job, bigger this, bigger this." Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask what you will. See, look here. In verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Abide in me. Let me tell you something. First love. And all these things will be added to us. They're all right in the, we can use this world, but don't abuse it. Don't let it take the place of Christ. Huh? Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. And he's just repeating what he says in verse 4, that strong, continual relationship with Christ which produces the fruit of the Spirit, it's that strong power, influence, and life of the vine that produces the fruit. Now remember this, it's the influence of the vine that produces the fruit. And as we, as the vine, and our relationship is affected, the fruit will be. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if the branch and the vine are in a strong union, then there's more fruit from the vine. But if the branch and the fruit there's an interference, whether it's disease or what it might be, the interference with the branch and the vine, it's going to affect the fruit. And that's what he's saying here in verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, verse 6. And I kind of believe verse 6 may refer to the unsaved. If a man abide not in me, if he's not in me, I don't know. I'm just not sure. But he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they're burned. I can't connect people who know Christ and love Christ with being gathered by the angels at the end of the world and burned. But verse 7, if you abide in me, and that's the word I want you to see. And I want to see it too. Abide. Abide in me, and my word abides in you. You ask what you will. And that's not talking about material things and physical things, and that's asking what you will in a spiritual relationship. And my Father will do it. All right. May God bless that to our hearts. Turn to 219.